And welcome, friends, to this, the Monday morning broadcast of the Grace Hour. Great to have you with us this morning, and we want to welcome you to our live portion of the Grace Hour. We appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us for our broadcast, and excited about getting another week of broadcasting started with you live right here in the Grace Hour. This week's theme, leaders redeemed, leaders raised up, and leaders sent. Yeah, that's going to be our theme this week, and we'll be talking about leadership from a biblical perspective. And how does God call leaders? Does he raise them up? Are they born leaders? Are they developed into leaders? We'll be talking about this and so much more related to this all-important subject. And we, of course, want to include you in the broadcast as we do each and every day that we broadcast live right here on the Grace Hour, which means following the devotional message today, we will invite you to join us, and you can participate in the broadcast and share your thoughts, insights, and perhaps wisdom regarding this theme and subject matter. Again, you can join us live. Pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers, and participate in the broadcast at 800-338-7060. That is the toll-free number. And that toll-free number, well, you can reach us anywhere in all of North America on that number. And for those of you listening locally in the greater Baltimore area, you can give us a call at 410-483-3700. And we expect to hear from many of you during our broadcast today. Certainly hope to, anyhow. And when you have that opportunity to share your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and of course your prayer requests, they're always welcome live right here on the Grace Hour. And we trust that many of you are adapting and getting used to the fact that we are no longer broadcasting during the afternoon hours from 1 to 2 p.m. as we have been in the past, but now moving back to the morning format, 11 a.m. to noontime, Monday through Friday, right here on the Grace Hour. And again, you can watch us live and listen to us live at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and a lot of different other platforms that you can participate and listen to the broadcast in. We hope to, again, have you share the fact that you do listen to and participate in the Grace Hour. Share that with others. Let them know that you're tuning in on a regular basis. Perhaps they'll join us as well. Well, Pastor Schiavelli will be joining us in just a couple of moments to bring today's devotional message, and he'll be sharing some thoughts from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, about opening the minds of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and how he opened their hearts, opened their minds, opened their eyes, and finally they opened their mouths to talk about Jesus. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, greatly discouraged, disillusioned, and Jesus saw that. And I think that's one of the reasons why he came to them and approached them, because he knew, even before he ascended, that he had to reach these men in their moments of discouragement to pour some courage into their hearts. I think, like all of us, they needed to be encouraged, and Jesus sought them out and, again, made them a priority even prior to his ascension. All right, joining me in the studio, back from an extensive trip to the continent of Africa and several conferences while he was there, meeting with believers, and back in the studio today, Pastor Schiavelli.
Good morning. Is this the first time?
It may be for you.
For me, it is, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you started this 11 o'clock Grace Hour when? Was it a week ago?
Early. No, early in the month of April.
Where was I? Missing in action, MIA?
Either on a plane or in Africa.
Yeah. I love this portion of Scripture, Luke 24. Spoke about it in a conference in Uganda, Kampala, outside of Kampala, called Nansana, a town, and how God is in the place of opening their eyes, opening the Scriptures, opening their understanding. And I like how that takes place when you open the Scriptures. People's eyes get opened. And then when their eyes are open, they are taking in what the scriptures have to say, and it opens up their understanding. Understanding. That's important. After it opens up their understanding, it can open up their will to make choices, to choose to go back to Jerusalem rather than actually, we don't know what was taking place, but it seems to me they were going away, very disappointed in what they thought was supposed to take place, even calling Jesus a stranger. So he opens the scriptures. Their eyes are open. Their understanding is open. Then their will becomes open to the direction of God. And then they have an open fellowship when they go back and they meet these other believers in the church. It's taking place there. So being opened. We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, along with 3:14, says Satan blinds people's minds, lest they should hear and obey and become participators in the glorious gospel. He's a mind blinder. John chapter 9, when Jesus healed a blind man, opened his eyes, he had to deal with the Pharisees and the religious people who were spiritually blind, being spiritually blind. That's interesting. One time I remember in the country of Togo, I think it was Togo, that there was an ordination of a blind man. A blind man was ordained. I think you remember that, Sebastian. I can't remember his name. But it was phenomenal that this man had gone to Bible school, and he was blind. And so he, using Braille or having assistance from people, when it came to studying the Bible, learning the Bible, reading the Bible, and then going to Bible college classes and listening. Really acute ears, too. Really not A-C-U-T-E. Ears that really could hear beyond what maybe many people would have as far as open ears to hear. And so he was blind, and it was quite a privilege to be able to award him a Bible college diploma or degree at that particular time. So Jesus is speaking, and he opens the eyes of a blind man, but then he addresses the Pharisees who are spiritually blind. And, you know, sometimes you can talk to some people, and you realize you just can't seem to get through. There's no opening of their understanding. There's no opening of their understanding at all. They just have... they're closed to the scriptures. They've closed their eyes spiritually. They have a close understanding. Therefore, when it comes to making choices, totally opposed, closed and opposed to the things of God. And they never experience a fellowship with God, being absolutely spiritually blind. You see a lot of different groups out there. I call them groups, some having some very strange cultic tendencies, but they're blind. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the God-man, totally God, but totally man. And you can talk and talk and talk and talk and speak to them, and it seems like you get no place. Nothing. There's nothing happening. There's no opening. There's no receptivity to what is being said because they are spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. And we've read in the scriptures about having even consciences that are seared, seared consciences. And so they're blind. They're blind. They've been blinded. And see, Satan himself can even use so-called religious movements, not Christian movements, but religious movements, and he uses them to blind people. And they are totally unaware of what's taking place. And you could speak the scriptures, and you could try to reason with them, and whatnot, and yet nothing takes place because of a spiritual blindness. We might say this about King Saul, spiritually blind. We might say this, and we can say this about Saul of Tarsus, who on the road to Damascus was on a very vengeance-related mission to bring people to prison and really to death even, that were believers in Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, in Acts 9, God blinded him. And then he a miracle took place, and he received his sight. Actually, I think it's amazing that Jesus blinded him, but there was a disciple who put hands on him, and he received his eyesight back. He began to preach Jesus is the Son of God in the synagogues of Damascus. So his eyes were opened. Eyes opened. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And connect that with chapter 4, verse 18. It says, and I'm going to turn there and read it, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is praying a prayer. And this is an important prayer to pray. Maybe you have people around you, or you know of people, and they just can't seem to get through. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, his prayer begins in verse 16. And it says, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And I think that's amazing. To us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So his prayer is actually for three things there. To know the hope of his calling, to know the hope, to know the riches of the inheritance and the power. The hope, the inheritance, and the power. But he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's the word photizo in the Greek language. Like where we get the idea of a photograph from. But in Ephesians 4:18, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. This is a really incredible portion of Scripture also, as they all are. It says, having, Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So one portion, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. The other one, the eyes of the understanding being darkened. Okay. The enlightened word is photizo. The darkened word is skotizo. Very interesting. And so they had their understanding darkened. It just, there could be like no penetration. Nothing was getting through. So may God help us to have eyes that are opened. The scriptures are opened. Our eyes are opened. Our understanding is opened. Our will is now able to choose. And then we see the results of those choices. So Father, we thank you today. God, help us to have our eyes enlightened. Enlightened to know those three things we spoke about versus having our eyes of our understanding darkened, either enlightened or darkened. Could be in any area. Maybe there's blind spots in my life or in people's lives that we don't see correctly. Open our eyes, God. Help us to spiritually see, not to have blind hearts, but have hearts that are receptive to God's word, God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, God's faithfulness. Bless our time on the air today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and our program is coming to you live from our studios, and we're located here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland, and we're going to open the phone lines and give you plenty of opportunity to join us on the broadcast today. So, again, go to your phones right away. We'd love to hear from many of you as we get our new week of broadcasting started right here in the Grace Hour. We're going to be talking quite a bit this week about leaders, leadership in the church, leadership in the body of Christ, leaders that have been redeemed and raised up and sent by God. It's a great theme, and, of course, we can see how Jesus literally went out of his way to seek out these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, again, heading back from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about a 7-mile walk. And that's when Jesus met them. They were discouraged disillusioned, and Jesus met them right where they were at and began to minister to them. And I love that, the sequence there is so clear. Verse 27, he opened the scriptures. Verse 31, he opened their eyes. Verse 32, he opened their hearts. And then when it was all said and done, they opened their mouths in verse 34. So there's a lot of opening that was going on there. But of course, I love the fact that, you know, somebody may ask this question, well, when I'm discouraged, what is it that I need more than anything else in my life? When I'm disillusioned, what is it that I need more than anything else in my life? And you know what the answer is? Just a good old-fashioned Bible study. If that can't open your eyes, and if that can't make your heart burn, if that can't give you vision, hope, incentive, motivation, I'm not so sure what can.
Absolutely right. And that was what, I mean, here's the Word of God opening the Scriptures. You might have thought he'd have another way or something. No, of course not. The Word will use the Scriptures to open up their understanding. And that's really all that it takes. And by the way, there's so many times in our lives that we are not understanding in relationship to how God thinks and understands and knows. And God just needs to open our eyes, but we need to be receptive to that opening of the eyes, you know. And I think this blindness, I mean, think about it. The biggest problem, what is the biggest problem that people face on planet Earth today? Some would say crime, some would say drugs, some would say many, many different things. But really, think about the whole world is like a religious world. And religion has done so much to really hinder the gospel, just like it did in the book of Acts, like it did in the life of Jesus Christ. Think about how many billions there are of certain faiths. And really what it is just a blindness. It's a sophisticated blindness, a religious, complicated, sophisticated blindness caused by the enemy himself. You know, he's the god of this world, small g, god of this world. And so you think of massive movements of people. I think I counted one time 6 billion people that were from some religious background, one or another, you know, and that's really the problem today. And people don't see it that way. They think, well, you know, we're all going up pretty much the same road or something like that. You know, no, we're not. No, there's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus Christ, the God-man. God who became man, totally God, totally man. And if people do not have their eyes opened, without opening, they don't open the scriptures, their eyes are not open, they have really no understanding, so they can't even make proper choices in life, and they never experience an open fellowship with God himself. Mm.
You can join us. Phone lines are open. Gerald, we appreciate you joining us live from South Africa. That's our
Pastor
first
Gerald.
Contact today is Pastor Gerald.
Yeah, he should call. You can call us, Pastor Gerald. I know it doesn't cost much from South Africa. I was with him in Malawi.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Love to hear.
Yeah. Love to hear from him.
Absolutely.
His how perspective about his time in Malawi, or maybe from Pastor Chris Armin in the conference that took place in Malawi over there with his entire family. They could give us a ring. Or somebody from Europe. How about Russia? What about South America? Have you heard from Stan Collins recently?
Not Pastor recently.
Stan? Pastor Not Stan, recently. Are you listening?
I bet he is.
Yes, there's an injunction initiated towards you.
Amen. Well, we'd love for all of you, any of you that Come are available,
now.
You give us a call. We'll take your call.
Pastor Gromov.
Live. Right, yeah, Pastor Gromov. Wouldn't that
Pastor,
be wonderful
Pastor
to hear
Mati
from him?
Pastor Mati Servio.
Yeah,
it's so many people I'd love to hear from.
Amen.
On the air, and the people that are listening would love to hear from them.
That's right. Give us a report about what's happening in your part of the world. Those phone lines are open, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America, Canada, and the United States. And right here in the greater Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. We are always very interested in hearing from our local listeners as well.
Yes.
And if you're listening to the Grace Hour live on the Internet, or Facebook Live, YouTube Live, please, you give us a call today. We'd love to hear from you on the broadcast.
Amen. That would be great. just so that we're talking to each other, but we'd love to talk to you, love to hear from you, from wherever you are. We are getting a number of, what do you call those?
Just comments on YouTube Live, Facebook
YouTube
Live.
YouTube Live, okay.
Mm-hmm. Be a blessing to have you join us.
What is that question from Brian?
Oh, from Brian. Brian writes, greetings, pastors. How does the entrance of God's word bring the light of understanding to a person's soul?
Well, is the word light? Yes. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. So it is my receptivity. Okay. I am in a place of receptivity. All right. Does the entrance of God's word bring the light of understanding? So here comes the word, and then the word is believed. We mix faith with the word, and our understanding is being able to put together, it's an interesting Greek word, put together God's word and faith and the situation that I am in the middle of, and out comes this amazing truth from God. So here comes the word, and the word is a word that is not just life, but brings light. John 1:1-5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then God will give us absolutely an ability to mix faith with what is received. And then light comes, the light has come, and it gives me understanding in a situation that maybe I've just experienced nothing but darkness in. And it's the entrance of the word. It's simply that, just the simple entrance of the word coming in, the word coming in. I think it's Psalm, is it 119:130, the entrance of thy word?
That's right.
Gives light, right?
Yeah.
Gives understanding to those who receive it. Yeah. We and have another comment.
It's
there?
Guidance too, isn't it?
Guidance,
guidance,
yes.
And direction. And of course, you know, mixing faith with those promises produces light in our soul. And I think, you know, when you think of the parable of the seed and the sower and the seed, it's not enough that someone simply hears the word. They have to mix faith with
mm-hmm.
it. It's got to be implanted within their souls. And once it takes root within a person's soul, then not only do you have light, but you also have fruitfulness that comes forth
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
that kind of a life. So, Tony Sewell, I'm not sure what his question is. Perhaps his question is, how do you know if you're chosen or, well, chosen for a leadership position within the church?
How do you know? Okay, obviously there's my relationship with the scriptures and the word of God and the Holy Spirit, right? But some people could enter into subjectivity because they desire a position of authority and they want to be in authority, but is it from God or is it not from God? There's where leadership of the church comes in, okay? Wouldn't the leadership of the church recognize a person who has a gift to lead? And by the way, there's many aspects to leadership. There could be a pastor. There could be the leadership that is deacons leading in a church as far as overseeing certain aspects of the ministry. There could be a pastor who's not the leader, the pastor teacher, but he's an assistant pastor. There's a person who's an evangelist. Okay, he has an incredible gift to evangelize. So it would be the church leadership that would verify. Otherwise, it would just be me saying, I'm a leader, so ordain me. And then people have to automatically do that. No, it's going to be the leadership of the church. People that have a gift of leadership and are in leadership, them recognizing that a person is a leader. And obviously, a leader is going to lead. It's going out and leading in some direction, whether it be with children's ministry or be starting a Bible study, teaching the Bible, whether it will be taking a section of a city or an area and evangelizing that area. So that's what I would answer to that.
Mm. Well, that's a good answer. And you know, I like the way that you pointed out the fact that there's different kinds and different types of leadership within
mm-hmm.
local churches. Someone could have an administrative gift.
Sure.
And use that in positions of leadership. Some a pastoral gift. Some preaching, teaching. Some, as you mentioned, the gift of evangelism. How about music? I mean,
yes,
you can lead in that realm, and you know, God will give you a gift to lead others so that they can develop their gifts as far as music ministry is concerned. So I think sometimes we have this very narrow-minded understanding of leadership. In other words, if I'm not going to preach and if I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to lead. But that's not the case.
At all. I mean, what about, starting a Bible study. Isn't a teacher of a Christian school a leader in the aspect of those students are being led by that teacher? So there's many, many possibilities for leadership. Why is it that everybody thinks of leadership as the pastor of the church only? You know, I think that's a wrong concept.
Yeah, you can be leading children as you teach a Sunday school class, right?
Yep.
Or a Bible club somewhere in a public school or in your local church. So there are so many different avenues of leadership. And, you know, to really break it down, Pastor Shabelli, someone may look at themselves and say, well, I'm not really a leader. Well, a leader is a follower.
Yes.
It's just that they follow first.
Yes, yes.
And then other people follow their example.
The 11 followed Jesus and became leaders.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, Pastor John Perkins has written to us. And by the way, friends, you can reach us by phone at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. Right here in Baltimore, you can call us at 410-483-3700. Pastor Perkins says, welcome home, Pastor Shabelli. I'm teaching the book of Colossians. Got any thoughts on that book?
I hope I'm not
off topic.
What? I'm teaching Colossians.
Well, there you go.
This semester, starting, it's Friday nights. Colossians.
In the summertime?
No, actually, what's happening is I was teaching the Pauline epistle, but Colossians is this week. Sorry. I'm
going
to say that.
Okay.
It's Colossians is this week. So I spent a lot of time studying that book this morning. And I really believe it talks about Jesus Christ's all sufficiency. Christ is all and in all. Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. It talks about Jesus Christ being the head of the body. I mean, it's a sister epistle to Ephesians. So there's chapters 1 and chapter 2, which are doctrinal, chapter 3 and chapter 4, which are very personal and practical, the practical personal life. So he really presents Jesus Christ as the head in Colossians chapter 1. And then he's actually refuting a lot of errors, Oriental mysticism, the Gnostics, all these different heresies, Jewish legalism, the Greek counterculture, Greek thought patterns in people's lives. So really, it's a great book. And I just started to get into it this morning and whatnot, but I intend to be looking at that book of Colossians all week. So
there you go.
So he can tune in Friday night.
Can he?
I think he can tune in. I don't even know. I think he could tune in Friday
not
night.
Not sure. Not
no?
sure about that. Pastor Perkins, maybe
class?
If you know somebody that's taking the class, put you live on their cell phone, perhaps. That's how you could hear the class.
But Dr. Stevens taught Colossians
yeah.
a number of times. So yeah. Maybe going to the archives and finding the book of Colossians.
Sure, yeah. Contact the Bible College as well.
Yeah.
See if there are classes and tapes from Pastor Stevens teaching on that subject. And, you know, we got an interesting... Brian has written to us, says, you know, the devil really has blinded the minds of everybody in terms of unbelief. He says, I hope you realize the world is flat. We live on a flat planet. The Bible supports this 100%. Well, Brian, please tell us how the Bible supports the flat earth theory. Because, and Brian, we want to encourage you, you know, maybe you got to take a little trip in outer space so that you could see the planet from above, from, you know, outside of the Earth's atmosphere. And I think you would realize that it's a sphere. It's round. It's
Amen.
Not flat.
Did somebody else believe that? Was it Kyrie Irving?
Yes.
Yeah, he said the world was flat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of flat Earth theorists out there, but I mean, you know, all of those images that we've gotten from space, I suppose they think that that's all kind of a conspiracy
theory.
A hoax
theory. Or a lie?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just a big hoax, like man never walked on the moon. That was all just fabricated. You know, maybe it's worth raising that money and jumping on one of those spacecrafts that these wealthy people are flying so you can get a good view of it yourself from out of space. Our good friend Dominic DiPiazza says, dear pastors, thanks for the message. Light in the Bible is one of my favorite themes because When I was born again, I received this promise of John 8:12 that if I follow him, hold fast to him, I will always stay or get light even in my darkness. This verse has always proved true in my life, and by his light we see light. Amen.
I'll be calling him today. I had his phone number right before I came on air. They said, Grace Hour's on right now, and I was getting ready to call him.
Wow. Yeah. Praise God. Well, Dominique, thank you for reaching out to us. We think of you often, and a great way to describe, you know, the power and the promise of the light that Christ has given to us. Because, I mean, Jesus himself said, I am the light. And then, you know what I love about that, Paul in his epistles, you know, we know that Jesus said in speaking to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. But he went even more specific in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, when he said, you are light in the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yes.
We're not just walking in the light. We are light.
We are light.
And that's incredible because God has given us, as you said, that spiritual understanding, that spiritual perception, the enlightenment that comes only by the Holy Spirit. And when we have that, boy, we can see.
And this is what the world needs to see, really. It's like the light of God's life in the church and in believers' lives. And it can happen in such a very personal and practical way. You could be working a job someplace, and you're in an office or you're in a factory or wherever you are, and you can really reveal the very light of Christ's life in that place, that you have a ministry of bringing light into darkness, okay? This is so key. Light is brought into darkness and dispels darkness. It becomes very clear who God is and what God has done by you meeting a believer who has the light of God's word in them, you know? And it's amazing. It just takes believers and Christians understanding that and then operating in that truth, you know,
Amen.
That we are the light of the world. And by the way, there's going to be people that love darkness. Didn't they say that in John 3?
Yes.
19,
that's
20,
right.
21, men love darkness.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah. And that's their choice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like some of us have made a choice to respond to the light when God gave it to us and revealed it to us through his Spirit. Others, maybe they have that same opportunity, but they say, no, thank you. And they prefer, well, as Jesus said, not even a preference, but they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Not just like it, they love it.
I love Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they do not know at what they stumble. What a contrast between the way of light, the path of light, and the way of darkness. If you were to give me an option, I'll take a lighted path.
Yes.
I don't think anybody, well, you would imagine that not anybody would prefer to walk in darkness, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I just coming back from Africa, sometimes you would get into places where it's a cloudy night. You can't see a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't even know. Like, it's every little step, especially when you have bad ankles like me. So there's the stars and the moon are clouded, and it's a cloudy night, and there's no light in some of these villages.
No street lights.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all, you know. And yet, it's amazing how many of these people that live in Africa, they see very clearly. Maybe they're just so used to it.
Sure.
They're so used to the darkness that they've developed an ability to see right in the midst of it, you know.
Incredible.
But we who come from places where there's all kinds of light, artificial light going on, it becomes difficult.
Well, Brian has reached back to us. He said, so, and again, he's a flat earther. He says, so you believe what man says and not God's word. Well, Brian, tell us. Tell us what God says. Tell us, where are your scriptural references to back up your flat earth theory? We want to hear about them. We're telling you that, you know, based upon the clear, accurate evidence that the world is round, it's a circle. There's no question about it. That's even brought out in Scripture.
Sits on the circle
you're telling
of the earth.
Us, yeah. You're telling us it's a flat earth, but again, I guess you won't know until you get to the end of it and fall off.
Well, is that, I don't know who this Brian O'Dell is. It's not the same. Brian Gordon is another person?
Yeah, it's a different person. So where's your evidence, Brian? Let us know, and we'll take a look at it together with you. Phone lines are open. You can join us live, friends, at 800-338-7060. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Opening minds to the Scriptures.
This is so key. What are things that can make people close-minded? All they see is themselves, number one. They just look through the eyes of self all the time and never beyond that. They see the world, and the world is filled with darkness. Okay? There is the enemy, the devil and demons, and they are creators of darkness. And so these things, when you put the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies of the believer, together, all being sources of darkness, that if a person doesn't purpose in their heart to be receivers of God's light through the Scriptures and receivers of God's life in church, light in church, then they are just saying no to light, and they just operate in absolute and total darkness, you know. But that darkness is a dark light, you know. It's a dark light.
Yeah, it's incredible to think. Well, I mean, of all people, I think we should have compassion on those who find themselves in darkness, because we were there ourselves once.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you mentioned that verse in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we made reference to it just last night in our church service, where the Apostle Paul, again, talking about that and bringing out the fact. Well, it says, again, referring to the way the unbelieving Gentile world walks in the emptiness of their minds. And then he says in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So put it all together. You have a darkened heart, an alienated life, ignorance, and blindness. I mean, that's where we were.
Right.
And God, you know, opened our eyes. Now, did we cooperate? Here's the question,
yes.
Pastor Shibeli. Did we cooperate in that process? Were we willing to let God open our eyes, as opposed to saying, I prefer the darkness to the light?
No, we were willing to let God open our eyes. Okay, like, let's take it beyond salvation. Can people still have their understanding darkened after they get saved if they're never a person who hears the Bible or reads the Bible or asks God to fill them with the Spirit of God to live a spiritual life? That darkness can continue experientially in a person's life. They are just darkened. You meet people, they say it's okay to drink alcohol. Their understanding is darkened.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phones. Pastor Gerald, he took us up on the offer. Gerald, and he's calling us from South Africa.
Wow, that's
Pastor,
a long
welcome.
Call.
Hi, good afternoon, Pastors. How are you?
Great. Good to have
Alive
you with us.
Alive and well.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thought I would just call in to say hi, and great topic. I love the discussion on light and the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about how important the preaching of the Word is, and how important it is for us to live lives that, you know, that we are living epistles. We are living out the Word of God, because it creates opportunities of truth and faith for people to make those choices and to have their eyes opened through the entering of the Word of God. So really just chewing on what you shared, Pastor Shadidi. So thank you so much. It's an awesome word.
Can you imagine this, though, Pastor Gerald? It says men love darkness more than the light. That's so interesting. They actually love it. They're not just living in darkness with a reluctance. Men love darkness, even though the light has come. Because actually they're comfortable in darkness, because that's all their whole life has been, is nothing but darkness, you know. And they become comfortable in darkness. It's kind of like a person that has an addiction of some type. They become very comfortable in that addiction, you know. And they become comfortable in the darkness. And that is very interesting. And I wonder when the Bible describes separation from God as the blackness of darkness. Very interesting. I'm thinking that hell will be a place where there'll be absolute darkness. Absolute darkness.
Yeah.
And where a person will have every desire that the flesh could ever have, but never be able to fulfill one of them. Wow. I just had some thoughts on.
Well, doesn't it? It's Jesus said that this, of course, is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. And then he tells us why. Because their deeds were evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to say in verse 20 of John chapter 3, everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So it's pretty clear that the darkness becomes a covering for their evil deeds. And it's not very comfortable to come out of that darkness and to have these things that you're allowing in your life or that you're practicing in your life to be manifest. The best way to, you know, to conceal them is to stay in the darkness.
Can you imagine that statement, though? Men love darkness and hate the light. That's something else, you know.
Yeah.
That really is something else. That just shows you to the extremity where man can go when he loves darkness. He hates the light. He wants nothing to do. Have you ever, I'm sure, Pastor Joe, we've had these experiences where you try to evangelize or witness to somebody and they literally hate the light. They want nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with it at all. Sometimes they're courteous, a little bit courteous. Sometimes they're just blatantly aggressive, you know. And they hate the light. They don't want to hear about the light. They don't want to have you talk about the light in any way. They don't want to even have any suggestions about how they could receive light from God. They want nothing to do with it because they don't just put up with darkness. They're not just living in darkness. Men love darkness.
Mm. Pastor Gerald, you were with Pastor Schiavelli during one of these conferences recently. What was your takeaway from your conference that you attended?
Are you there?
Oh, I guess we lost him. Oh, well, appreciate the call. Wish you had stayed with us a little bit longer, Pastor, but we appreciate you joining us. Those phone lines are open for you, friends. You can fill them up right now at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free, of course, and locally 410-483-3700. For those of you that are north of us in Canada, if you can reach out to us, give us
Canada.
A call. We're praying for the Greater Grace Church in Montreal, Canada. They are looking for a new meeting place. So keep them in your prayers, friends. They have been renting a facility, but they're going to have to leave that facility and find a new place to meet. And they're flourishing. They're growing. Great things are happening. The message is being proclaimed by the Greater Grace Ministry in Montreal, Canada. So keep them in your prayers that God would open the right door for them and give them a building that they can meet in.
Amen. You know, I was thinking about having worked with people in prisons. I used to work in three or four different prisons. And people think that somebody's come to the end of themselves, and they haven't. They've been caught in a crime. They've been sentenced, and they're spending 10 years in jail. But as soon as they get out, they go right back to the darkness. Maybe they're not doing what brought them into prison while they're in prison. But as soon as that door opens, it's like right back to darkness. And I've seen this happen so many times. It's very sad. These are like addictions to crime, addictions, an addictive personality. And they really love it. While they're sitting there in prison, and by the way, they can experience definitely darkness in prison. But they really have this great desire. They're missing something, you know, and they really love it. I'm wondering if we could find out. I think I might know, but I'm not 100% sure. Is the word love, is that agape or agapeo? In other words, they have a self-sacrificing desire for darkness. In other words, this is more than just some kind of love that's natural. And whatnot, but it is a love that would impel them to just, you know, I'm going to give everything I've got to darkness.
Wow.
I think you can see that sometimes when I've met people that are involved in witchcraft. I've met even warlocks and witches and whatnot, and they love darkness. Mm. There's no question about it at all. Can God break through? Yes, he can. But the absolute truth of the fact is they love darkness, and maybe that's why we find out that we cannot, we don't have certain fruit or results that take place when we minister to certain people, because they just love what they're doing. They love the evil they're doing. And they might not say that to us, but they love it. Yeah. They love it.
Well, I remember hearing, I can't remember who the commentator was, but, well, I just can't recall his name at this moment. But he said this once. He said, sin's dominion over us is according to our delight in it.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Right.
I mean, you know, in many cases, people have been, by the grace of God, been able to break free from certain sinful habits because they want to.
Yeah.
Because they're sick of it and they don't like the results of it.
Right.
But, you know, now their attitude is, I don't want to break away from it. I enjoy it. So I think it is. I think it is. The aorist indicative of that word agape means to love, to take pleasure and to long for.
Yeah, desire.
So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
it's desire. It's a form of agape love.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, I will do anything.
Yeah.
You know, God so loved the world, and men love darkness.
Yeah. It's amazing. Well, also, Tess has written to us, says, thanks be to God. She said, and she's quoting from Psalm 97, verse 11. It says, light is sown for the righteous. Amen. Mm. And Carol has reached out to us. She says, you know, the worst enemy we have is me, myself, and I. A reference to being blind and darkened from God and blind. It's all self. It's what the self life does.
Yes.
How true that is.
Spiritual blindness.
And let's see, Brian, Diane has written into us and is quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, where it says that God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth.
There you go.
He's not laying down
40:22
on it, but again, enthroned above the circle of the earth. Waiting for your scriptural references regarding a flat earth, and that's why I don't think we'll hear from you.
Yeah.
Pastor Gerald is back from South Africa. He got cut off earlier, but the question, Pastor, was you were recently joining Pastor Shibeli and others for one of these conferences, I believe, in Malawi, and what was your takeaway from being at the conference?
It was a great time. Thank you so much. Yeah, we had a awesome conference. Pastor Shibeli shared some great words. The fellowship was amazing. It was great to see just God's work there in the country. I think Malawi is the second poorest country in Africa. But it's amazing to see how people are enriched through the word of God. Pastor Eugene was also joining us. And
Pastor
Ronaldo. It was really just a really awesome time. And Pastor Ronaldo. I mean, there were many people.
Wasn't the topic of the conference recovering all?
Yeah, recovering all.
Yeah. 1 Samuel 30, verses 6 through 8. How God will recover all in our lives. It may seem like some things are not happening anymore, or something's going on as far as the decision-making process, and we find out that we're like the prodigal son was in a pig pen, but he came back, and this my son was lost, but he's found. And he recovered all. David recovered all. And Abraham recovered all. Yeah. And, yeah, that was great. We had a great time there, a great conference. We went out to Uganda, and it was amazing there, too. In Uganda, I think, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, there was hundreds of people in both places, between the 600 and 700 people in both places for conference. And it was great to see different countries represented, as South Africa, and different countries represented by coming to those conferences. Those conferences are absolutely essential. There's no doubt about it. You know?
Amen.
Now, Pastor Gerald, you're in South Africa, and for the folks listening live on our broadcast today, tell us exactly where you are and maybe what are the prayer requests that you might have that some of our friends listening could be praying for.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Pastor Love. Well, we have three churches now here in Pretoria in South Africa. So we are based in an area called Moraletta Park, the church that I am pastoring. So that's inside of Pretoria in South Africa. And some of the prayer requests, I think maybe just one main prayer request for today is just to pray for the men in our churches. We are having a men's revival evening on this coming Friday, and we are gathering together all the men in the different churches and just really focusing on rekindling the fire in the hearts of men. And I'm really excited and praying that God will stir up men, because we need men of God in our communities. We need men of God in our homes. We need men of God in our society, in our country.
I love that topic, too. Stir up. The word in 2 Timothy, anazopareo, and it means the word ana, again, zoe, that's life, and then poreo, fire. Mm. Again, life's fire. Again, life's fire. That's what, it's so important. In other words, the fire of God is there, but let's stir up. Let's stir it up. Again, life's fire. And that can happen in all of our lives. It can get to a place where I become just very laid back and complacent and maybe not going the way things used to take place, you know, leaving the first love of Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. But again, life's fire. And God is so available at any moment of any time, of any year, of any decade, of any century, to stir up, again, life's fire. And I think that's tremendous. Amen. And I think great opportunities in SA. Have you been to Sunnyside ever? You know Sunnyside? Yeah. I used to love Sunnyside. Yep. Sunnyside. We used to evangelize in Sunnyside. It was a very interesting place. Actually, I think we did a Bible study or a church service in Brian's home. I don't know where he is as of these days, but we used to do something there, and it was a great time in Pretoria. And by the way, did you know that I was actually working in Johannesburg? You knew that, right? And then we took a drive to Pretoria, and my wife said to me, look at these beautiful flowers. What were they? They were purple flowers, weren't they?
Yep.
What do they call? What do they call them?
Jacaranda.
She goes, we ought to move to this city. And I thought, like, okay, Linda, come on, move to this city. And guess what happened? We moved to that city.
Ooh.
Her prayers and the jacarandas brought us to Pretoria.
Flowers.
Yeah, there you
imagine
go.
That, huh? Imagine that. I remember that very clearly, and I remember having doing some work in certain parts of Joburg, and it was quite interesting. But we settled in Pretoria.
Amen. Pastor Gerald, thanks so much for joining us actually twice today. We got cut off earlier, but thanks for getting back to us. Appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the program.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. We still have a few minutes left in our broadcast. Suzette has reached out to us.
Suzette,
please talk a little bit more about 1 Peter 2:9, how we are a royal priesthood and holy nation, called out of darkness into his marvelous light to proclaim that light.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's what God has done. And that verse is amazing because it says that our responsibility is that we would show forth the praises of the one who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And that word praise is a fascinating word, because one of the translations is the gracious way that God has dealt with you. I mean, when you think about that, couldn't we spend a lot of time talking about how good and how gracious God has been to us?
That is the most edifying thing we could do, right?
Yeah.
As far as building us up, and we hear the voice of the Word of God, and we just building yourself up in your most holy faith. And it's really important. Like, how can I build up other people if I'm not building up myself? You know, I don't think it's possible. I think we need to build up ourselves in the most holy faith. And really, speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to ourselves, you know, and this is so key. And that's what light is all about, the light of God in an individual and then the edification that takes place. But boy, does this world need more light.
Yeah, whew. Amen. And it's incredible to think that every single believer can live that way. In other words, all you have to do is just consider where you once were, what you once were, and where you are today because of the grace of God. And if that doesn't stir up your heart to be grateful, to be thankful, and to want to share with others what God has done for you, I can't even imagine what else we would have to say. But all it takes is, I mean, in my own heart, I look back on those days when I was in that darkness. And it really was darkness. And I, frankly, didn't think that there was a way out. But, you know, where man fails to find a way, God can make a way.
The entrance of his life.
And he, and yeah, he did. In. And it was through the word. I remember it was through a gospel track, and it was through someone sharing this message with me repeatedly that I finally, by the grace of God, responded to the message of the gospel, and that made all the difference. And, you know, that was some, we were talking about it on Friday's broadcast with the pastor right here in the studio, and how he was mentioning that, you know, 51 years ago, he asked Christ to come into his heart. And in my case, you know, as of next year, it's going to be 50 years. So we're talking about decades and decades have passed, and we've been in the light all that time, but we're still so grateful, so thankful. And, you know, we could worship God throughout all of eternity for his great salvation.
What he has done.
Amen.
The light has come. And we didn't say no to it. We said yes to the light. And it something began in our lives as we were born again and received Christ. And if you're not born again and you're out there, maybe you're religious. Maybe you go to church even. Maybe you do good deeds and all that. But that will never save us. It's the blood of Christ. It's the finished work of the cross. It's you personally receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Light will come. Light will come in and we will be changed. People will be changed and transformed. What a miracle happened in Acts 9 with the Apostle Paul. What a miracle.
Yeah.
Think about it, you know. On his way to put persons in jail that were Christians, persecute them and imprison them. And all of a sudden he became a preacher of the light of the glorious gospel.
It's amazing. And, you know, just like when you walk into a room in your house, if it's dark, just turn the light on.
Turn the light on.
That dispels the darkness. Some people say, how can I step out of this darkness? Let the light of who God is come into your life. We're out of time, friends. Thanks for joining us. But we will be back, God willing, tomorrow at the same time. We hope you'll join us then.